views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Had enough of the been there, done that ideas? Tired of too much talk and so little action? Rewind now and welcome to Transformation and Change Radio with Dr. Kathy Obear, where the vision of true equity, inclusion, courage, and purpose meet powerfully. Dr. Kathy delivers with dynamic, engaging conversation in the most authentically brave dialogue on air today. This hit show will challenge you to explore current issues of diversity, equity, and inclusion and deepen your capacity to choose courage to speak up to greater inclusion in everything you do. Fasten your seatbelts and accelerate your effectiveness to become a powerful change agent in your life, community, job, and society. Imagine true equity and inclusion and get the tools to really manifest your vision. No frills, no fluff, just really powerful, good stuff. Transformation and Change Radio starts now.
Hey, everybody, welcome. I'm Dr. Pat. I get to do this fabulous show, Transformation and Change Radio, at least for a little bit longer, with Dr. Kathy Obear. So the show is about a couple of things. But think about these words as I say them. Just think about them for a minute, because I've thought a lot about them. I get to work with Kathy on a regular basis, so every time I do and I look at what she's going to talk about, I get to really think and think about myself. So think about choose courage, speak your truth, live on purpose. And as I thought about those words and I thought about what Dr. Kathy's doing in her show, and especially today's episode, what we're talking about today, today's podcast, what can I do? Not what can I do. What can I do? I am just one person. That's the topic for today. Many of you know Dr. Kathy Obear is somebody that is absolutely phenomenal in what she writes about, her fabulous book. But more importantly, she is really a champion of change. And that's just not something she talks about. She's in there in organizations. She's working with individuals. She's coaching. She's mentoring. She is actually the facilitator, the activator, you know, the person that is tapping you on the shoulder and giving you the tools to change and change really, really well. That's why I love what she talks about and how absolutely relevant is it to the day we live in. Dr. Kathy, I love this topic. What can I do? I'm just one person.
First, way too long, and even today, I can be full of self-doubt. What's my purpose? What can I do? I'm only one person. I know I have felt so overwhelmed, or that imposter syndrome, like I don't know enough, I'm not smart enough, there are people better than me to do this. And I think there's another reason I've stopped myself and people tell me they don't speak up in organizations or in the community. And that's the fear of backlash. What will people think of me? What will my supervisor manager do? Will this be career limiting? And to be honest, lately, I've been watching a lot of Facebook and the news, and I have felt inspired by so many people today who probably never thought they would be one person speaking up and then sparking a movement. But they just could not take it anymore and could not live with themselves if they didn't take some action, because what was happening around them was violating their core values and their vision. And so they spoke up or literally sat down. And then all of a sudden, a movement has grown up around them. And so there's especially so many young women, particularly women of color, that are inspiring me these days.
Oh, my gosh. You know, what I love about what you said, really, it strikes a chord. Yesterday, I was talking about a couple of things, but I want to bring this up for us to really weave into the conversation. I was talking to a group of young women, as I so often do. I work with young women, but I work with women of all ages in recovery. But this happened to be a younger group of women. And they heard my show, a little snippet of it. And they also said something to me. They said, "We don't understand the commercial that's playing in Washington State, Pat." And I said, "Okay, like, oh my God, there's like a gazillion, right, Dr. Kathy?" They said, "The one about the NRA And I said, no, I have not seen that commercial. And then one of the other young women said, no, 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 it's the ERA. There's a commercial on the ERA, like the ERA. And they looked at me and they said, that can't be true, Pat. And I said, well, what part can't be true? And they said, well, we didn't know we didn't have equal rights. Okay, why am I bringing it up? Because one of the ladies that I was talking with, she said, I'm going to do something about it. That's all she said. I am going to do something about it. Now, I don't know what she's going to do, but I was struck by what we're talking about today and the component of what can I do? I'm only one person, and how knowledge sometimes can be power. Can it help us move beyond our fears and our doubts, though? That's my question for you.
I think so many folks in their teens, 20s, 30s, whether it's Facebook, other internet, are learning so much more about the current state of the world, this nation in the US, their local area. And some are saying, I'm going to jump in, like Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And so many other folks, whether it's Ilhan Omar and so many other young women of color who were just elected in 2018. Those folks, now again, they may have been thinking about it for a while, but it seems from what I'm learning is it's just like one day it was like, oh no, I will get involved. And then people organized. And I see these particularly young women, congresswomen, who are speaking truth to power, unapologetic, and looking at a wide variety of issues, not just ones where they're in marginalized identities, but saying anyone who's in a marginalized identities, I am here to speak up. And when the consequences happen, I'm here to have your back. You know, there's another young woman, Greta Thunberg. I was doing some more research about her this morning. I think I'm accurate. At 14, when she was in ninth grade in Sweden, was so just distraught and angry and upset by the climate change impact in Sweden, fires and all sorts of other things. And she looked around and said, why aren't we organizing? Why isn't this like we're in a world war? This is actually just devastating and will impact millions of people, kill them. And what she decided to do, because no one was listening, was strike. And she did her own individual strike. She sat down outside. And this went on for a while. And then the news picked it up and she was invited to speak. And now at only age 16, she is the center or collaboratively this incredible movement for climate change, which at least by the end of 18, they were saying over 200,000 students have done strikes in over, I believe, 270 schools. And since then, I've seen those dynamics here in the US. And so what can you do? Listen to your own voice. What are you passionate about? And what are you willing to do? And you may never know who speaks up. I want to ask the listeners to do a couple reflection questions. The first is, who has been that one person for you? Because if I talk about some of these folks current day and historically, who we now hold up as such leaders, it can feel overwhelming. And yet, if you just do some research and realize it often started with one decision to not collude anymore. And then many people came in. I don't think many people started out to organize a movement necessarily. Well, like Tarana Burke, who in 2006, in reaction to so many women of color, especially younger women of color experiencing sexual assault, she started to put out in the world Me Too. And while most people probably think Alyssa Milano, who is often credited with starting the Me Too movement, a white woman, we don't know that actually is Tarana Burke, I believe an African-American woman, Tarana Burke, who in 2006 started it focusing on issues of race and gender intersectionality. And yet, to be honest, the Wikipedia that I was looking at today did acknowledge Tarana Burke, but the only picture was of Alyssa Milano. Why am I bringing this up, Milano? Is that history may not represent fully how people got started, and it may actually support the status quo that it looks like it's hard to create a movement, when in actuality, if you just think about who was there for you growing up, throughout your lives or today, who is that one person who cared, who maybe spoke up, who supported you, who encouraged you in professional development? And how could you be that one person to someone else and or in your organization or in your community?
Well, you know, it's funny because I'm getting messages in here. It's really interesting because I love what you're talking about. And I love that we are talking about people. A lot of times what we're finding now in media is, one, we're not mentioning names. We're not honoring people. If you say Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's name, everybody wants to make an opinion about you and you put yourself at risk. And so some people see that as a problem. We don't. But let me just share something that you said. Right here, we have a host that has not been able to start her show yet. Let me call her now Senator Mona Das. And to watch the evolution, exactly like you just said, this person that was somebody out there, a businesswoman in the mortgage industry, basically has had enough. And she decided, I'm going to do this. And off she went and decided, I'm going to run for state senator, Washington state I'm referring to, right? I just got an announcement that Senator Mona Das has been assigned to four committees, right? Vice Chair, Housing Stability and Affordability, Financial Institutions, Economic Development and Trade, Environmental, Energy and Technology. So isn't this the kind of thing you see, right, where somebody who didn't actually realize that this is a possibility one day said, I'm going to do it and I'm going to try, and did it. What have you learned, Dr. Kathy, about what it takes for every single one of us, right? You know, we're no different than the people listening to this show to say yes to that one thing and be that one person.
You know, even as I'm sitting here, I was reflecting, I'm 60s. And I was taught kind of wait your turn and learn enough, and maybe particularly as a woman, and wait till you feel ready. And I see these young folks stepping out and they may be ready, but I was not ready at their age. So part of it is recognize we will never know enough. We will never feel ready, particularly if we've been told by society we're not good enough given our marginalized identities. And so just believing I have a voice, I have something to say, and I can do it. And again, not alone, but you can be the first person to say, I want to do this. I've had enough. Who's with me? The next thing you might want to have is why. Your big why. So your passion, your vision. What I know is I have done some significant change work, but I was motivated only out of anger and rage or pain. And while that was motivating for a time, as soon as I started to feel better, my motivation shifted a bit. But when I'm also motivated out of my vision, what is possible and what I want to create, not only what I'm fighting against, but what I want to create in community, that serves for energy and can keep my self-care and community care and my passion going. So I think we need all of that.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I
want to ask you to talk about that for a minute, because you're really talking about a number of different things that everybody listening to this show, and I like the call to action you had earlier. Everyone listening to this show, please engage with us around this today. You know, as I'm listening to you speak, I'm clearly being triggered about things that I'm passionate about, but I'm also asking myself the question, am I doing enough? I can hear myself with that. And I know you and I come probably close to generational, but if you think your generation was told to wait your turn, I can only tell you that my generation was told to take a long nap. And if the alarm goes off that we maybe will set for you, then please wake up. But times have changed, Dr. Kathy, right?
Yes, they have. But there's so many of us still on the sidelines. Now, people might be into one issue. I don't think we no longer have the luxury to be single issue focused or even a few. And again, these women of color, and indigenous women that were just elected are great models of seeing the interconnectedness of all these issues that are in front of us today that we all have to do. Now, that does not mean that each of us has to be expert and do everything. And yet, We need to be able to support and speak up enough on everything, do what we're passionate about, keep learning, and then support others in what they're doing. Now, a key part of this, though, because you said you're even got a hot button and trigger, am I doing enough?
Yeah.
There can be some very usefulness of those questions. If we spin in guilt, shame, I'm not doing anything, poor me, I'm not doing enough, then that just keeps oppression going. A little of that is humbling and useful. And we have to do our inner self work. As we hit the old wounds, the old traumas, the current dynamics that are cumulative impact, as we're navigating difficult situations in the workplace, in society, in home conversations, and we realize, ooh, my energy is bigger than this moment, that's a good sign that there's more going on. We have to, as individual change agents, work with others to do our inner healing work so we can show up as clearer instruments of change. Because when we're doing this work, our behavior has to be in a way that we can collaborate with others. Too many folks, I think, get into change work, whether it's inside or outside an organization, and we're so passionate, but we're not thinking about how is my behavior impacting others? In my privileged identity, am I showing up, taking over? Am I not paying attention to group dynamics? This just happened to me recently. I think, as a white person, I am often talking about centering race, paying attention. I was just with a group of colleagues that I care deeply about. And towards the end of our gathering, some folks of color said, white folk, including you, Kathy, you're not paying attention. And the impact on us. And it has shaken me to my core. Because I have an image of myself as quite a change agent in dismantling racism, creating racial justice. And folks have asked me to take a deeper look at what I'm still missing. And so thinking that we have arrived is a huge problem, not only in our content. So if we're doing climate change, you're doing prison reform, or you're doing organizational inclusion, anytime I think I've arrived, that's a problem. But I don't think I was asking often enough, how's this going? How am I impacting? I wasn't close enough to white colleagues to say, what are you seeing in me? Because think about a community group you've been in, whether it's a PTA, PTO, church group, synagogue group, mosque, sports group, and you were trying to create change, but you noticed people kept dropping out or they weren't coming back, and you were thinking they were the problem. Well, we have to start with, is there anything about my behavior that is setting it up that people don't feel valued, included, just at the group dynamic level? And so that's just some of the inner work we have to do and the skill building we have to do to be consistent change agents in it for the long haul.
You know, I remember a day, and, you know, it's interesting that, you know, we've moved this far, but that particular, and thank you so much, Dr. Kathy, for sharing that, because so many of us, I think, have gone through life thinking we've got it. And I know for myself, my awakening in this arena was when I went and reconnected with my sister after years and years of us being separated. She's now, she passed on in 1992. But after reconnecting it with my sister, I was so struck by where my sister lived, by who my sister was friends with, by who my nieces were dating and marrying. And I looked at my sister, and all I could think about is how she represented love with no colors. And I'm referring to living in one of the worst places in Yonkers, New York, that you can imagine, that she was the only family in the project that was white. And my experience with that, even after my HR corporate diversity work, I had no idea that I had a sister that could demonstrate love for all so brilliantly and beautifully. And I asked her one day how she did it. I mean, this is the truth. This is me, like all the HR, right? I said, Chicky, how did you do it? How did you do it? Her answer to me was the way my sister would answer many things. Fabulous sense of humor. And she just burst out laughing at me. She just laughed. She said, there's nothing for you to do. And I never forgot that. Mm. And I asked her, there's got to be something to do, because I want to know how to be more like you. She said, there's nothing for you to do. There's nothing for you to do. She says, your heart's either going to be open or it's not. If your heart's open, then what you could do is learn how to be in the world with other people, regardless of anything you think about them that is different from you or less than you. And she would say that in half Italian, and I never forgot it. And I'm not saying I'm there, but to have somebody that could explain something so basic yet so difficult, and it is difficult for us sometimes, was astonishing to me.
She had found a way in simplicity to show up, be real, be human in love, and not have all those biases that most of us, if not all of us, were taught, many of us still struggle with. So many of us, I think, have to be much more intentional. I love that your sister kind of evolved, but I think as I work in organizations and do training and coaching, I think we have to be very intentional about our own development. And one way I like to organize it, I think it was Pope Reynolds and Mueller organized in these ways. What are the competencies we need? You know, what's the knowledge we need? And I think change agents, we need to know, for instance, the history. So what's the history of your community, your organizations from all these different identities? What's the history of the region, our nation, even the world, your state? What are some current statistics about your area disaggregated so that you understand better about differential experiences for people of color compared to whites, trans folk compared to cisgender, folks with disabilities compared to folks that aren't disabled, and I could keep going. I think more of us need to then look at how did we grow up? And that's more kind of the self-awareness. What was our socialization, the biases around us, the stereotypes, and what of those might we still have? And for me, I've had to, if we just have a race lens, I've had to work with other whites in white affinity spaces to get honest about, as you were just now with your sister in that story, what are the racist attitudes I still struggle with, the beliefs that whites are better, understanding the daily microaggressions of racism. That I did a session yesterday where I had leaders share what are the common dynamics they see, and we wrote them out anonymously and then shared them, and folks were some of them in shock and like, does this really still happen? So many of us aren't paying attention. And even with 35 years in this work recently, I wasn't paying attention. I didn't have a race lens as fully centered as I needed in that moment. So it's continual work, continual self-awareness. We have to get honest about what the privileges we have, how we still get unearned privilege when we're marginalized, and do healing work from both of those places. So there's so many knowledge, self-awareness, and then there's skills. Now, what I want to offer to the readers today, if they go to your website, there's a download of what I call self-assessment for inclusion practitioners. And it's my current thinking. It's not a complete list, but it is my current thinking of about 64 skills that I want all leaders, all change agents to have. And it's a starting point. And so you could take that and think about yourself and what are your skills, share it with the people you work with, and then fine tune it to say around issues of classism and hierarchy in our organization. Do I have the same skills? Do I demonstrate them? Around issues of immigration status, do I show up in the same way? And just look at the breadth of differences as you look at these skills. When do you choose courage? When do you speak your truth to power? Or when do you go into the four F's of stress, where you go into fear, flight, freeze, flounder, and don't quite know what to do? And then how do I need to develop more capacity and courage to take meaningful action? That's the fourth. So it's knowledge, self-awareness, skills, and action. It's not kind of frenetic action, strategic, thoughtful, in community collaboration with others, especially folks who are in the marginalized groups compared to your privilege, building relationships and conversation, following the leadership of, I'm not saying having them do all the work. It's more not coming in and taking over and being the savior. And so how do you plan a collaboration, then do it, then come back and evaluate, revise, and go out and do it again and support each other in community and community care. It's no longer, go ahead.
I want to ask you about this because I love the way you've really broken this down. And I wanted to ask you this question about it because I've heard a lot of people talk about what we're talking about today, but not as clear as you are in giving us this blueprint that says, look, these are the things, these are the competencies, right, that we need. Look at these areas and ask yourself, where are you with them? Knowledge, right? Self-awareness was the other, right? We're talking about skills as well. And what I love about you doing this is it is so key for everybody to know that you could become knowledgeable in the privacy of your own living room. See, you can become knowledgeable. And one of the things I wanted to ask you about, and this is what I've heard from time to time, right? Especially for this young group of women, right? Who couldn't believe that they don't have equal rights. And they asked me a question. I want to ask you a question. No, they made a statement. I want to say it. When I said to them, I love it. Great. Go do something. They looked at me. And you could see a little bit of the fear and anxiety. And here's what they said, Dr. Kathy. They said, but what if I don't do it right? What if I make a mistake? What if I offend somebody? That is very, very real in the world we live in now. Because, I mean, I said something 2 days ago on air, and I could tell you the text messages and the emails that I've gotten about it. Asking me to clarify, but we have to do it anyway, don't we?
Choose courage to know I'm not always going to be on point. I may say things out of not knowing. And then we need the skills to recover, to stay in it, not go all fragile and fragility and defensive, which I might have done a little bit recently, but to say, tell me more, help me understand. I hear the impact is. And to be honest, I have all these skills and some stories like this written out in the book that I'm also offering at a discounted price, Turn the Tide, Rise Above Difficult Situations in the Workplace. And so they can find that also on your website and access that. We have to have the willingness to leap and be out there. And I'm not saying without knowledge. I'm not saying just go out. So whether it's on Google, watching videos, get a book club, a bunch of colleagues that come together, read some things or share and talk, go to programs, while you're also scanning the environment, noticing what's working, what's not, speaking up, building coalition, and then speaking truth to power, knowing you may not do it effectively. The person you're speaking to may not appreciate being called in, if not called out. And to be honest, I think a critical skill set is knowing what your triggers are, being able to navigate your emotions when you're triggered so that you can still be in emotion and choose a response, not reacting on automatic pilot, not reacting out of old wounds. And that's a very challenging thing to do in our privileged identity. And it's especially challenging, I think, when folks have one or multiple marginalized identities because the world is still barraging them with all sorts of oppression. And so, yes, we're not going to do it perfectly. And even if what we say is useful, other folks may not like getting the light shined on their behavior or on a policy or a practice. And so anticipate there will be engagement, resistance, and do it anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. I love this. You know, for those of you, we're going to take a really short break. When we come back, we're going to talk with Dr. Kathy Urbaire about a number of different things. But look, I know it's easy to become overwhelmed. I know that firsthand. I know that we don't believe sometimes we can make a difference in the workplace, our community. I know we get that. But that's the work that Dr. Kathy Urbaire does. You know, whether it is one-on-one coaching that you're thinking about, maybe you need some help. Maybe you're a manager. Maybe you're a supervisor. Maybe you're a leader in your organization and you're hearing something today and you're thinking, yeah, I'm overwhelmed. Well, here's what we want to say. Help is on the way. When we come back, what can I do? I'm just one person. Well, go ahead and ask Mona Das that, our newly elected senator, that yesterday a co-sponsored bill was passed in the Senate in the state of Washington to prohibit retailers in Washington state from handing out single-use plastic bags. That's right. One person, but part of a team. We'll be right back.
Are you done being afraid to jump into the life that's waiting for you? Are you ready for a real shift? I invite you to tune in every Tuesday with me, Tracy L., on the Tracy L. Clark Show, where we will teach you how to live your extraordinary life. At 8 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio, where I will provide the tools and the steps needed to help you transcend perceived limitations and move forward with an extraordinary life. For more information, visit me at TracyLClark.com.
Are you new to playing with the law of attraction or a seasoned pro looking for an easy and organized way to monitor your co-creation endeavors as you draw them from the immaterial planes into your physical reality? Then join me over at goldenotter.us for bi-monthly new and full moon rituals where we plant seeds of intention, then harvest the fruits of our desires as part of a dynamic community in the members-only Lunar Manifestations Forum. I'm Autumn Seibel, host of Golden Otter Radio, where the metaphysical meets the mainstream, and I can't wait to meet you.
What is holding you back from living the life you are meant to live? Why is it vital to believe in something bigger than yourself? Are you in physical or emotional pain? Tune in monthly to Vibrant Purposeful Living. Awaken the vibrant life within you with Lou Paradise and Dr. Pat on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Lou's passion is to help everyone experience positive solutions for life. Find out more about Lou with Vibrant Purposeful Living at louparadise.com.
The knowledge book, currently studied in 39 countries and 15 languages around the world, accelerates our evolution, takes us out of depression, offers universal truth, protects us, and makes us stronger, both spiritually and physically. So if you are interested in the knowledge book, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net and tune in to the Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasik on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
The Earth is an ever-changing being. Goddess Light shamanic healer Bree Gibbs guides us through the ascending worlds, bringing forth knowledge and truth. As a light creator, she is here to provide new information needed at this time in our evolution. Join Bree as she shares messages from guides, spirits, ascended masters, goddesses, and others. Tune in Thursdays at 3 p.m. Pacific for the Dr. Bree Show, The Goddess Emergence, and live the authentic life.
Interested in deepening your spiritual practice? The School for Esoteric Studies offers online training to spiritual seekers from all paths of life and individual coaching. Our courses synthesize Eastern and Western spiritual traditions based on meditation, study, and service applied to everyday life. To learn more about our courses and services, please visit www.esotericstudies.net.
Wow, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome back. And by the way, Senator Mona Das wants me to say hi to all of you out there. And we are going to be scheduling time for her to come on and get caught up with her. Fabulous, fabulous. But today, you know, I am thrilled. Dr. Kathy O'Bear is bringing the leading edge, you know, the points of conversation. The things that we think about them perhaps don't think about. Of course, that's what her books are all about. And today we're really looking at ourselves. You know, how many times have you said, you know what, I'm just one person. I'm not going to make a difference. You know, I'm just one person. And, you know, here we are today. And I'm so glad Mr. Benny Mathers didn't say that, because he is the one person for 15 years that's been pushing all the right buttons for the Dr. Pat Show. Yeah, right. But today we're going to talk about some things you may or may not know. Before we talk about this and we get back to it, are we really alone? How can people find out more about you? Also, I think it's important, Dr. Kathy, that people know they can call you and talk with you about the services you provide and what you could provide for their organizations, even if they're not the boss's boss. But, you know, if they want to find out more about how to give information to their bosses, what is the best way to do that?
You know, my website, I think, has a lot of the workshops and executive coaching and virtual programs that I do. So if you just go to www.drkathyobear.com. DrKathyObear.com. Lots of resources there. And there's a link if you want to contact me, you can email me. And I often will talk with mid and senior level managers about what are the current dynamics, what they've done, what they think they need to do. And sometimes we end up working together. Other times I'm like, ooh, I'm not the best person, but let me recommend this person. Because I want to make sure, it's part of my integrity and passion, is that folks are able to find the folks that are most aligned with the skills and competencies they need and the group memberships. Because as a white woman, lesbian, sometimes my identities are useful. And other times it's like, who do you have that maybe has a similar approach, but maybe has some different identity? So there's a lot of things to think about as you're looking for an executive coach or an external change agent, and or as you're looking at how do we develop the internal capacity so that more people inside the organization have it part of their responsibility to be empowered, speak up, speak truth to power, and there won't be retribution because it's part of their role to do it. So building internal capacity is a critical next step for most organizations, not these one-off trainings. Believe me, trainings are critical, but they have to be strategically planned with organizational change strategies, and particularly developing leaders and developing other folks within the organization, internal capacity, inclusion practitioners, facilitators and trainers, diversity advocates, search committee diversity advocates, folks that are embedded in different places so that your one person, your senior diversity officer, your VP for equity inclusion, is not the only person everyone turns to and demands that they take care of everything. That just replicates dynamics of oppression. We need to get everyone responsible, everyone involved, choosing courage, speaking truth to power, but skilled up and held accountable for doing it. So that when someone comes back and tries to retaliate or say, this person's questioning my authority, it's within the framework of a strategic plan that's about equity inclusion. And they're like, I'm glad they questioned. That's what we're here to do. We want people to question every policy, practice, service, every interaction, because especially as mid-level and up leaders, part of our job, well, let me go. Did you grow up at the same time leaders were not to be questioned? In my family, you did not question my dad.
No.
In the military, you never questioned, right? I wasn't in the military. He was. In schools, I was taught not to question. Yet today, we do not have the time. We do not have the luxury to sit back and trust that leaders are doing it. We need collaborative. We need leaders and people working with leaders collaboratively to figure it out together. And that's going to involve challenge, questioning, speaking truth to power. That's going to mean organizations and leaders have to create the container and show up when folks raise questions and hold up a mirror and say you're about this, but here's my experience. Not easy to do, but we have to train leaders how to do it.
Wow. This really also points to something we're going to talk about now, and that has to do with the levels of development, how they work, when they work, and what I think is one of the greatest challenges, right, as individuals we have, is that we're individuals, and sometimes we think we have to do everything alone, right? Just let me figure it out. Just let me figure it out. But, we're talking about an area. Anytime we say the word inclusion, right, that means that other people are involved. And you may need to be around other people to even figure out that you don't know what you don't know, right?
As you were talking, sometimes I trust my guides. you may have seen also on Facebook and might be on the news by now that Newport, California High School, that young white presenting folks drinking apparently. And what I saw was a swastika made out of red beer cups. Mm. And they were doing the Nazi salute. And so put this out on Facebook. Well, I happened to be talking to someone recently whose child goes to that school. And there was someone called a meeting. And 500 people showed up to have a community conversation about the impact of that dynamic. Apparently, there were three high schools. I may not have all my details because it came from another person. But I want to join with what you're saying is, I'll bet of those 500 people in the room, some people came in and they're like, I don't get what the big deal is. And then having an open forum where people can, in their rage and anger from folks who are in the marginalized identities impacted by neo-Nazis and white supremacists, as well as, I'm not saying these youth are neo-Nazis and white supremacists, but the symbolism that they used is replicated in the mainstream media today, especially since 2016. And so that group of 500 community members coming together, honest dialogue, may have helped many people raise their awareness about what is going on, what the problems are, that this is just a tip of the iceberg of what's going on in the community, and probably mobilized a number of different actions, whether it's, because what I was coaching, this person said, what can I do as a parent? I said, well, can you and your partner go talk to the superintendent and ask, what are you doing to raise the consciousness of students? I'm not just saying these students, but all students, all the teachers, all the staff around issues of race and sexuality and anti-Semitism, xenophobia. Those are the four issues that I hear most from the right wing, but they're against women. I mean, we can keep going. So raise awareness about the current dynamics. And I'm not just saying what the right-wing fringes that seem to be mainstream. I'm talking about the daily indignities that are happening in our schools, that this major crisis, this critical incident, has raised our awareness that a lot of our young people and teachers might be supporting very oppressive organizations and dynamics. And so let's look internally. So the key is, how do you gather people to take a look at what's our current organization, our community? What do we say we want? What do we need to truly be inclusive and live up to the ideals of our organization and our country? How far we need to go, and then let's organize. And one person can say to another person, we need to come together because I've heard three microaggressions in our organization this week. And I asked the people what they said, and they said, I'm not going to speak up. And then I asked the people who saw it, and they say, I'm not going to speak up. So you come together, have a dialogue, and then some skill building. What are microaggressions? How do you speak up? Courage, and you build capacity. And the leaders come in. I was just working with a group recently where I had the leader say, oh no, in this organization, we need to have everyone accountable for creating equity inclusion in everything they do. I am committed to it. I know it's an aspiration, but I'm not moving. And so I expect everyone to move towards me. So we have to get leaders involved, but sometimes it takes a critical incident, as painful as it is, peels back to help us see what's really going on around us, but use that energy to mobilize people, come together, and you could be that one person who says, we need to have a meeting, I'll organize it.
Yeah. You know what I'm struck by, that story in particular? Here's what I wonder, and this really ties right into what we're talking about here today. Here's what I wonder. Some of us question, how far have I really come? Now I'm talking about myself, right? How far have I really come? Clearly, the reflection through my sister helped accelerate my learning curve, right? How far have we come? How far have we come? You know, once we stop and get ready to recognize how far we come, something like that happens, right? You know, that photo, and it begs a couple questions, and I'd love to talk about this and really get your perspective on how far have we come. One is it sheer ignorance? Meaning, are we so unaware, right? Ignorance is different than stupidity. It means I am just not even aware. I don't know, and I didn't bother to find out. Or is it something more? Were these 500 people in the auditorium, were they surprised? And why were they surprised? Because obviously they were there. These were their kids, right? I mean, how do we tie that together to try to put a call to action that says, this is what we could do to begin to repair our lack of knowledge or to get us in a room so we can have a conversation? What is it about that event that may be the micro of the macro? And then again, just one person, just one. One person make a difference?
Could you imagine if every superintendent across the nation or every school board said to their superintendents, look what happened here. Let's explore what's going on where we are, but also proactively, let's get some education in place, some training for teachers, because as you said, that's just a microcosm of what's happening. When we say how far we've come, I do think this country might be different than 40, 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then with the election in 2016, we have had so much intentional undermining and reversing, as well as I just read how a judge who was 37 was just confirmed. And what was reported is they've been very active in an anti-LGBT organization.
Yeah.
So they may have 30 to 40 years sitting on the federal bench, if I have my details right. Now, I don't know what their rulings are going to be. It could be they have personal values and they can get on the bench and have the kind of engaged fairness that all judges are expected to be. But we have so many judges who we've seen lately in the last several years that their racism, their sexism, their homophobia, their xenophobia have gotten into the practices and their rulings. And so, how many young white men have been let off after having raped a young girl and let off with no jail? So I just want to say that there are so many people in positions of power that do not have a clear instrument of change and are full of biases and acting on them. So how far we've come depends who you ask, because today with a race lens, I just see so much more blatant racist comments, hate crimes, folks who have been in the shadows before in white supremacist, KKK, skinhead groups, much more centered. They're wearing suits. They're showing up on college campuses, getting paid to speak. And many are organizing to question, but they're saying free speech, we're allowed to be here. Hate speech is not covered by free speech, in my opinion. I don't know what the rules are, but we have to mobilize. So what's happening today? I think more and more people are mobilizing and saying, given all that before 2016 that needed to change, and then with the horrors that are happening since 2016, millions more are organizing at the very local level in their organization, nationally, internationally. And how can each of us be a part of it? How can each of us ask, what do I care about? What am I passionate about? And how can I work with others who are maybe already organizing, bring my brilliance, or say, in my community, my organization, this is a problem. No one's talking about X. And you start talking to folk, whether in your organization it's the HR folk, talking to folks that are doing equity inclusion work already. And if there's not that structure, or you don't trust that structure, then talking to folks who seem to have similar concerns, doing a survey to gather real data, some focus groups that you can protect people's identity, but get the data and the stories. And just start showing leaders and other folks, we say this is what we're about, but here's where people say we are, and show that gap, and then challenge people to live in integrity, choose passion, courage, on purpose, to speak up and do their part to create change.
You know, part of this too is, you know, when we look at anybody serving on anything for life, it shocks me. It just shocks me. When I think about that, right? Serving as a judge for life. And I think about this, and I think about how times change. And the question mark really is, you know, do the people that are, quote, serving for life change enough to honor the public opinion? And that appointment that happened, and by the way, for those of you out there, I just posted it on Facebook, the reference that Dr. Kathy was talking about, because there has to be a conversation somewhere about what we believe in, and then what action do we take to support what we believe in. And I think that what we're talking about today, especially when we're talking about inclusion, every day should be a day that we look to change personally. Mm-hmm. Every day. And sometimes it's hard, isn't it, Dr. Kathy? I mean, sometimes it's hard to sit across the table from someone and absolutely listen to a perspective that they might have and truly believe in that's so damaging and hurtful to another person. But where do we go if we're not going to at least have a conversation?
And whether it's Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, who was speaking out for Palestinian rights and get accused of anti-Semitism. So to have a conversation with folks that say any criticism is Israel is anti-Semitic, and someone saying, but what is Israel, again, not all of Israel, but some of it doing with Palestinians. I mean, it's just one example of the centuries of conflict and different perspectives. To be able to have a dialogue and conversation, to hear different sides, and maybe I need to learn more. I am outraged by the oppression and anti-Semitism for centuries. And as I learn more about the experience of Palestinians today, I am also outraged. And how do we hold it all? And so whatever the issue in your own organization, the experiences of women across race identities, and in the experience of folks that are trans against all other identities across it, and folks thinking it's a competition and we only have so much of a pie we get to divvy up, as opposed to if we are supporting dismantling oppression, supporting liberation for all, how do we each support each other's vision of how do we create a work environment of accelerated success for everyone so we can better serve all of our increasingly diverse clients, students? It's not a competition, but it does take dialogue, and it may be difficult dialogue because there's pain involved. And as a cisgender person, I might have been the one that did something that was transphobic. But if that person identifies as male and they may have done something sexist that impacted me, how do you have those conversations and keeping race-centered? So I'm not saying it's easy, but we can continually deepen our capacity individually, collectively, to have authentic, engaged dialogues, navigate our own triggers, navigate when other folks are triggered, not to stuff it, but to have honest dialogue that's productive as we look at every policy and practice with a full inclusion lens. But I just want to put a dot on that I, that as you're doing this work, if you look at breadth of differences, it's too easy to drop race. That's what I did recently. I was looking at the full breadth. Race was one of the things I said, but I didn't center it as much as I usually do. Mm. So I just want to implore folk that given our national context, how do we keep issues of race and racism centered while we also have other issues on the table? Because we whites, unconsciously or consciously, will want to move it off the table. And the impact and the harm is significant because it's just one more dynamic in centuries of racism.
Mm. Wow. Thank Dr. Kathy, thank you. I'm so excited about your show and what you're doing and what you're moving forward. What can we look forward to in, you know, the progression of this show?
I know soon I want to take a look at self-care. I thought I'd do it towards the end of my year, but talking to you and also the current context, talking about self-care and community care. And then as I go off on my own and don't have you as such a great partner to work with, I envision talking about strategies to create organizational change, strategies to do some of that inner healing in our privileged and marginalized groups, and so much more. I want to really center some of the wisdom that I've learned over the years that I had a chance to write in my books. And so we'll actually do maybe a couple shows on how do you learn how to navigate difficult situations. And it starts with how do I pay attention to my own triggers and how I react. That work is deep healing. I've been doing it for a couple decades, and I still don't know it all. So those are some of the upcoming shows that we'll have the rest of the year. And who knows what else will come up given the national, international context.
Well, and there's one thing I think we can guarantee, folks. There will be things that are going to come up. There absolutely will be things that are going to come up. Thank you, Dr. Kathy O'Beara. Please give out your information one more time for everybody.
Folks can find me at my website, Dr. D.R. Kathy, K-A-T-H-Y, O'Bear, O-B-E-A-R.com, drkathyobear.com. And if you don't remember that, if you just put in Kathy O'Bear, I might be one of the only ones in the nation. So no worries, my information will come up. And I look forward to connecting, and I hope to see you all in future shows. This is a hoot.
It is a riot. I love it. And this is the thing I want to say. If you've missed any part of this, you can also take a visit and listen to, download the podcast of our previous shows together. Lots more coming on Transformation Talk Radio. I want to thank all of you for tuning us in and turning us on. Thank you so very, very, very much. And a future show that I'm going to be doing based on your request, I'm going to be looking at the states in the United States that have over the past 10 years have come up in the top 10 of women being murdered by men. The latest list is out. One of you sent it to me and said, Pat, can you have a chat about that? I would love to. We'll see you next time, everyone.
You've been listening to Dr. Kathy O'Bear on Transformation Talk Radio. Thanks for tuning in, and be sure to catch us next time as Kathy inspires listeners to become agents of change, motivate, innovate, and speak truth to power. Step into the courageous you that will change the world. Connect to life-changing conversations to extend your reach. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyobear.com. That's drkathyobear.com.